Hey everybody, it's Vince Thomas, lead pastor of the Outlet Community. Thank you so much for tuning into the Outlet Community Podcast. We pray that you are able to experience the power of authentic relationships. If you're ever in the Atlanta area, we'd love to have you out. Just simply visit theoutlet.cc for more information of our service location and times. Well, sit back, relax, and enjoy this life-giving message. First Peter chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 6. We're going to be talking about pressure, being under pressure, because sometimes when we face pressure in life, it's out of our control, and then there's sometimes that we have pressure in life that we created for ourselves. But no matter how the pressure arises, what I want to hand to you today are practical tips in coping with stress and pressure in a healthy way. Any medical professionals in here today, just by a show of hands, can you wave at me? All right. So I'm just going to clarify and say that I loosely did some research on different terms. And so if I butcher some topics, just send me a text message and let me know that I messed up. But I'm going to use some medical terms to kind of show you some correlations between what goes on in our physical body and what goes on in our spiritual and emotional life. But we're going to start reading in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. As if you ever did some study on the book of 1 Peter, it mirrors the book of James. These are epistles with pastoral tones, meaning if I were to take a collection of experiences that I've had with a host of churches that I've overseen and gave you a synopsis of what I've discovered and some tips and some wisdom and how to be successful, that's what happens in 1 Peter and in the book of James. And so we'll actually go to both today, but in 1 Peter chapter 1, Paul starts off and he is extremely excited. If you had a time after this, which I highly encourage, if you go back to verse 3 and read all the way through verse 12, that is actually one sentence, period, with run-ons and everything. It's just one sentence. Have you ever been there where you've been so excited to share some news that it's like, hold on, stop, process, let me hear in regular human words? Like, anybody ever been that excited where you just, and so this is Paul's tense. This is the context that Paul is sharing his insight in 1 Peter chapter 1 with us. His churches and the members of his churches were experiencing persecution. They were experiencing being ostracized. They were experiencing being labeled as social misfits for what they believed. And he wanted to encourage them as they walked through their plight. And I believe that it will encourage you as well. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. And I'm actually bringing back the real Bible. Do y'all know I've been reading this device for a long time? And I went back and picked up a physical Bible and didn't really know where the books of the Bible were. And I borderline couldn't read either. So I want to encourage y'all, with our devices, get you a physical Bible every now and then as well. Let's use the electronic devices as a complement, but let's still use physical pen, paper as a way to keep our motor skills intact. All right, so 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. And so we pick up here, and he says, "So be truly glad, this is a wonderful joy ahead, that even though you have to endure many trials for a little while." Wait a minute. Peter, you are telling me this is exciting. You are about to have the test of your life, and not just one. Wait, there's more. I want you to be excited. I want you to be happy that you're under pressure in life. He said, "These trials will show you that your faith is genuine, authentic, real." It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Verse 8, you love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy, because the reward for trusting him will be the salvation, not of your spirit, but of your soul. So it's telling us that in the middle of the test and the trials of your life, your ability to have joy in spite of what you see is going to help you feel better about what God has already done and given to you in your life. It said that your faith is far more precious than gold. And in order for gold to have any resale value, it has to be sent and placed through the fire. What is the fire in our life and coming toward our faith? When it talks about you're going to face many trials, the King James Version says manifold tests and trials. The word manifold is a symbolism of the spots of a cheetah, the spots of a leopard. There are no two spots on a leopard or a cheetah that are the same. And that sometimes messes with our psyche, because we like to, when we come out of a trial, when we come out of a test, say, you know what, I've mastered all of the skills necessary to face every test I'm going to face. And Lord, I thank you that from here on out, every test is going to come in the same wave, in the same pattern that it did before. What that would do is it would create a level of comfortability in our life and an area for us to be able to place an anchor of stability in the midst of change. And so what Peter is saying is, don't expect every test to look the same. Don't expect every trial to happen the same way. Don't expect what you used to do back in 95 and 96 and 2007 and 2017, 2018, watch, 2019 to work for you going forward. But he said, what I do want you to know is that every time a test comes up, don't count the test, count on your faith. Because tests are going to come in different shapes and sizes so that your faith can be made strong. Your faith is far more precious than gold, because gold can't bring you faith, but more faith can bring you more gold. So he's saying, I want you to develop the very life source, the very thing that is necessary for you to live the life that you were created to live. So he's asking us to change our mind when we face trials. That instead of crying pain, we're shouting praise. Instead of saying, woe is me, why does this always happen? I guess it's just my luck. I guess maybe the Lord doesn't love me like he loves everybody else. He says, instead of that, when you face trials, when you face tests, no matter how they look, no matter what they are, don't get down on yourself, but become rooted more in who God made you to be. The idea of this message came because I happened to stay up late one night and watch an infomercial. Yes, they still do that. And the infomercial that came on the television that grabbed my attention was Ninja now has a pressure cooker that optimizes both with pressure cooking technology and the latest air frying technology to come into one contraption to make food the best it could be in the shortest amount of time. Because guess what? In our lives, we don't have all day. And we want to make sure that we can get what we need in the shortest amount of time that's legal and possible. And so Ninja has created this device, and one thing that stood out from that device is that it sells itself that things that you place in here, we're going to make sure that they're cooked and they're tough and they're right on the outside, but at the same time, they remain soft and juicy and moist and everything on the inside. And it was like, aha, I get it. When the pressures of life hit, the pressure cooker of life comes, and the purpose of the test is to give us some resolve, to give us some fortitude, to understand that though things may come against you, those things can't take you out, and to have an understanding that no matter what I face, God is with me. But the challenge then is to not become calloused in the midst of your trial. So what Peter is teaching us is how we get tougher on the outside, but still remain soft, pliable, and moldable in our heart and in our spirit so God can continue to lead us and grow with us. I'm going to give you a great case in point. Anybody ever been disappointed before? And have you from that disappointment said, and I will never, dot, 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 dot. Same thing happens in your Christian faith. The moment you say, you know what? I'm going to be more generous. I'm going to start giving more. And then you get hit with an unexpected bill. You see, I ain't never. The moment you open your heart to love again, the moment you actually care, fellas, the moment we actually trust, then they, then she, then all them go sideways. And you see that? That's why I'm a never. So you get tough on the outside and tough on the inside. But what God is saying is when trials come, I want you to get some resolve to you. I want you to have a little backbone. I want you to have a little pep in your step no matter what hits you. Because at some point in time, we got to say the reason why our life is the way it is because we ain't did everything right. Everything wrong can't be everybody else. So he wants us to grow from this. I call this first area that the Lord wants us to look at in our lives as pressure points. Let me back up. Let me define the word pressure for today. When we're talking about pressure today, we're talking about the feeling of stressful urgency caused by the necessity of doing or achieving something, especially when you feel like you have limited time. Let's talk about these pressure points, because in acupressure, pressure points are thought to be powerfully sensitive body parts, where some people believe that applying pressure to one's body's pressure points, it can help relieve pain, establish balance, and improve health throughout the body. How come the Lord doesn't just eradicate all of your problems because you waved the spiritual magic wand? Because not going through the process of pressure will not give you the opportunity to relieve the pain of your past. It won't allow you to establish balance in areas that you were in the extreme on one side or the other. And you won't be completely healthy when it comes to your emotional and spiritual health. The way we can tell how healthy are we is measure the distance between what you know in the Bible is true and how you should conduct yourself versus how you actually conduct yourself. And however far the distance is between the two means that you're not in the place of optimum health. Productivity. But the only way to ever discover where we are is that we have a little pressure applied to us. Pressure is the catalyst to revelation. Pressure is the catalyst to revelation. It's not until you have some pressure that you understand the true strength of the relationship. You show me a strong relationship, you show me a strong marriage, you show me a strong church, I'll show you a group of people who have had to endure pressure point situations, who've had to be up under some stressful times, and they emerge stronger. But if we fall apart because we had an argument, because you didn't like doing what I want you to do, so now you completely cut off, then it reveals the essence of the relationship, because we can all fake something until some pressure is applied to it. We can fake that we love the Lord and he heard my cry. We can do all of that until we get hit with some real life and we don't want to talk to nobody's Jesus. That's the strength of your relationship with him. We got to be honest going into a brand new decade. Let's call a spade a spade. Let's be honest with where we are, but let's commit to growing in the right direction. The only way to do that is by growing through the pressure. It feels like the weight of the world is coming down on you right now. It feels like, I don't know what I'm going to do next. I need understanding. I need insight. I need direction. I need guidance. I need some money. Like, whatever it is, wherever the pressure is, that's where the growth will be. In your relationships, being able to have tough conversations and being truthful, being honest, it reveals to you where the relationship is. This is going to be my Monday minute tomorrow, but I'll tell y'all ahead of time because y'all came to church. I do not like diet burners. Amen. I do not like diet burners. For those of you who do not know what Verner's is, up north, Verner's is a medicine. It is a drink. It is a carbonated beverage. It is the best ginger ale that is found on Mount Verner on the east side in Michigan at the plant. But when we moved away from Detroit to go to San Antonio in 2002, we came back home to Detroit that winter for Christmas to see my grandmother. My grandmother, who was advanced in age, she was extremely excited, though she would never say it out of her mouth. She showed it by actually getting out of the house and going to the grocery store and slaving through the cold, harsh Detroit winter in order to give my brother and I the things that she believed we loved. And so when I came through the door, she was so excited to share with my brother what she got him and to share with me what she got me. What she bought for me was a 12-pack of Diet Burners. And there was no way I was going to tell her I don't like Diet Burners. So I said, oh, yeah, I love it. Yeah, thank you, Grandma. You are so wonderful. And Grandma was so happy. So do you all know what happened the next 10 Christmases? We came back home. I received a 12-pack of Diet Burners because I was afraid of how my grandmother would respond if I finally told her the truth. I know it's dysfunctional, but I'm not the only one with some dysfunctional things in my household. When we can tell the truth, number one, we save ourselves time. I'd rather we break up in 6 days than to be hashtag relationship goals for 14 months and then break up, because I stair-step these relationships. Like, you start at McDonald's, you know? I need to see if it's worth the investment. Oh, okay, I'm giving y'all some real-life wisdom. Single fellas, listen up. You start low. Don't start high. You start high and hit a recession, you through. She gonna think you don't care no more. Need to start low, hit a recession. She gonna think you coming up. So you just stair-step them. And you gotta be smart with how much you're investing in the relationship. So if we can't be honest up front, I'm not gonna waste what God has given me just so I can make you happy while I'm miserable on the inside. Ashley's coming my long way. Went to our first, date on Wednesday. Oh, we were so country and hood in there. It was like, y'all ain't got no refills. Oh, okay. Yeah, didn't understand the whole menu, right? And I'm just trying to guess on words that I know, like chicken, potato, French fry. Like, I'm looking for things that I identify with. And so I got nervous when, you know, because they give you a long time, and then they come back and, what would you have for, you know, and so, like, the pressure's on, right? Pressure points, you know? and so I end up ordering the most expensive thing on the menu. Now, this woman right here didn't tell me it was the most expensive thing. My mind, I don't know if it was like instant dyslexia or what, but all my reading skills just ended because I didn't know what was going on. She asked me, like, what you want? I just threw out a name and I ordered it. She didn't say nothing until Ashley over there, and y'all, she country too. So she over there sopping up her bread with her butter. I'm like, boy, I guess you're gonna live it up tonight. I said, what you talking about? I'm gonna live it up tonight. Oh, I guess it's your anniversary today. I said, what you mean it's my anniversary? You know you ordered an $80 entree item. I said, I did not. My pride, I ain't gonna say take it back and give me like the turkey sandwich. I'm not gonna say that. Anyway, that's a sidebar on stair step, your relational investments. And in year 10, take them somewhere nice. I'm kidding. Year 9. All right, so I want to talk about the stress test on your heart. Stress test on your heart. Now, I'm going to surmise because, again, I went to the Jackson State University, majored in business, did not major in medicine, so I'm not going to act like I'm smarter than our medical professionals. So I am going to surmise stress test. This is where the doctor has you do some type of exercise to see if your heart is able to move and where's the strength level at. Thank y'all. The condescending looked like, carry on. I guess. Go to Proverbs 24:10. And we could tell you're unlearned, but anointed. Proverbs 24:10. Stress test of your heart. When you get hit into moments where you don't know what to do, those are called stress tests of the heart. It wants to measure your mobility and your strength. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you fail under when you actually get some pressure, your strength is too small. So how do I get my strength up? Or as young people say, how do I get my weight up? Like, how do I get stronger? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. So when you're feeling like you can't go forward, then we've got to figure out how we can get a shot of joy. Joy is not based in circumstance. Joy isn't based in facts. Joy is based in truth that God has never lied and he never will. God has never left and he never will. Hey, I like that. That was like a little four bars. Yeah. You know what? You all are condescending today. Let me be great. Thank y'all gassing me up now. I'm looking for Micah. Is Micah back there? Or is he in? Is he asleep? Oh, he typically smiles when I'm preaching, so I get my strength from him. We have to be so rooted in joy in that God's word, it never changes. God's word, it never will. It'll never change. He won't change up his care, his support. Even though you may feel like you're alone, you are never, ever alone. But I want to close today and give you all just a practical, is it an acronym where it's like letters make a word? Thank you. And so what I want us to do as a church family is commit to having daily CAT scans. C-A-T, daily CAT scans. It's an acronym. Let me tell you, according to WebMD, what a CAT scan is. WebMD says, a CAT scan is computed tomography. Is that a word, tomography? Oh, I got, thank you. I appreciate that. That was a quick nod. Where a CAT scan allows doctors to see inside your body, it uses a combination of x-rays and a computer to create pictures of your organs, bones, and other tissues. It shows more detail than a regular x-ray, and it can be done on any part of the body. And so what I want us to do today is to own these practical tips that allow us to have a spiritual CAT scan. I'm not talking about where each of us in here know, like, there are some areas of our life that are just messed up. And I'm using messed up because this is church, but you know what the real world is. Like, we know off the top of our head, like, I need to get better in this area. All right, that's an x-ray. That's taking, you know, a quick self-examination. But I want us to take a step further and do a CAT scan spiritually to cause us to go deeper than I know I'm messed up to where you know where you're messed up at. It's important so that you can handle pressure. CAT scan using the acronym CAT. The first step is casting. The second step is asking. The third step is thanksgiving. Every day I want you to cast. Every day I want you to ask. And every day I want you to thank God for all that you do have. Let's dig a little deeper in what it means to cast. 1 Peter chapter 5. So we're going to go back to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. One thing we have to understand, in the words of Major Benson Payne, you may feel a little pressure. It's a part of life. Pressure is going to happen. Pressure is going to come. So you have to learn how to cope with it and not fall under it. So the first step, casting. Casting is about finding your pace under pressure. Maybe I'm hashtag doing the most. Maybe I'm not doing enough. But regardless as to where I am, I need to practice casting each day. 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse 6 and 7, again in the structure of these elements, I'm actually reading this from the New King James Version, in the structure and the composite of this text, 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 are just one verse. So there aren't two separate verses. These are literally one verse. And let's watch how it progresses. It says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all or the whole of one's care means to throw all of one's cares, concerns, things one is anxious or worried about upon someone or something else. It's similar to throwing a fishing line. And so you have a choice when you're throwing, because every day you're going to throw your feelings. So you have a choice to either catch feelings or you have a choice to reel in faith. Either I'm going to catch feelings or I'm going to reel in faith. Every day we're doing some level of casting. If I'm rehearsing what's not going right, I'm catching feelings all day because now I'm like, oh, nothing ever works. I'm just a failure. Oh my God. Lord, help me. I don't know if you're going to be there for me. Or, God, I'm casting this whole thing on you because I know I can't do this. It's not going to be done in my strength. It's not going to be done by my power. It ain't going to be done in my time. I sure can't do this alone, Lord. And you build your faith as opposed to holding on to the weight of the world. We're casting. Notice that it's tied to humility. Oh, Lord, I'm about to say something real tough, but it's okay because I believe y'all love me in faith. Here we go. Every result of anxiety, worry, fear is a manifestation of pride. Say it again. Every time I worry, let me put it on me because I worry. 3 weeks ago, I had my first panic attack ever in life. Didn't know what was happening. Thought I was having a heart attack, but I wasn't. I was driving and I was thinking, is this going to be the end? But it's not. I'm hungry. You know, like, that's the progression. I didn't know what it was. It later on that night, it kept me up to where I'm not laughing at this. It's wrong to laugh at myself for having a panic attack. But I'm going to tell y'all what happened. So I woke up at 2 a.m. and I didn't know what was going on. The whole left side of my body was just going numb because I was so worried. I had so much to think about. Y'all, I wouldn't wish pastoring on my worst enemy if he wasn't called to do it. I would not, because on top of praying for everybody else, you got your own stuff in life that you got to pull yourself through at the same time. I mean, it's been the most challenging but rewarding process I've ever been a part of. And so to experience what I experienced, I was just going through. So I was up, and we, Ash and I have been married long enough for me to know I just can't wake her up for nothing. All right? Now, the rest of you submitted, holy gospel-filled women who wake up when your husband just taps you, you know, thank God for you. But this one, don't you bother her. The house is on fire. Put her on your back and walk her out the door. Let her wake up and say, baby, the house burned down, but you were asleep, but can I get you anything? You know, she's like, don't wake her up until 10 a.m. And I was going through, and I was crying out to God. I was just, Lord, I just, something. And I said, Lord, can you wake Ashley up? Because you know I can't do it. And y'all, I just heard her wrestling and getting up like, I got up, everything okay? No, Ashley, thank you. But experiencing that was a manifestation of my pride because I was trying to figure out how to do it all. And that's not my job. I need to submit under his mighty hand, not my hand. The two are tied together, so I have to be reminded every day. When we cast every day, we're reminded that it's by his power, by his might, that we live this life. The second thing is asking. For the sake of time, we're going to go to James chapter 1 and verse 5. James chapter 1. In verse 5, asking. When we're asking, we are now finding your patience under pressure. Casting, you're finding your pace. Asking, you're finding your patience. Patience, how did the Lord give it to me? I hope I wrote it down in my notes, because it was just something from my own, like my personal journal. I'm sharing this with you all. Because, y'all, I had to live this message myself. Patience is the buffer to ignorance. Patience is the buffer to ignorance. James 1:5. And I encourage you all to read verses 2 through 6 when you have time at home to get further context. It says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Verse 6, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver. Why would I waver? Because I'm impatient. For a person with divided loyalty, God, you're going to do it? I'm going to do it. That's what divided loyalty means. Is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed to the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because you moved out of the way of where he was going to provide what you asked him for. Not that he's not going to give it. Let's go down to the final part, which is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Typically, people only talk about Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving. But Thanksgiving should be a reminder of an act we are to have every day. If I could get the worship team to help me with this, though, y'all can get in place. Because today has been special. And I want us to end this day on a high note. I want us to have collective Thanksgiving. If casting helps you find your pace, if asking helps you find your patience, Thanksgiving or gratitude helps you find your peace. My heart's desire is that who I am at home is who I am at church. Not two different people. I want to be, I am me. I want to be me. But there are some times at home where I put on just a good old-fashioned hype shouting song, and I start thinking of every single thing God has done that I didn't deserve. And I might start off just listening to it, but on the inside of my heart, it's like there's this person that just wants to say, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I really know what this should have been if it wasn't for you in my life. And that person on the inside just kind of starts getting me just rocking a little bit. And then I keep thinking about, oh, wow, I'm 15 years out. And I keep going after miracle, after miracle, after miracle, after miracle, after miracle, after miracle. And then those songs that I'm listening to are saying the very praise that I can't help but let out in my heart. Now, each of us are different. We're wired differently. Some of us are more introverted, which means we're more reserved. Some of us are extroverted, which means that we're naturally more outgoing. I'm not talking about Thanksgiving from a place that's just an external display. I'm talking about Thanksgiving from a place that's an internal display. And I just want us, if we can, to practice a CAT scan before we leave out today. Can we do that? Let's stand to our feet. We're not going to do that song. We're going to do the first song. First song. I need some upbeat. We've been worshiping. Lord have mercy. Feel like I'm at the 80s, 90s party. It's time for the red light special. No. I really want us to talk about how good God has been. Before I read in verse 5, in verse 3, Paul, he said, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we've been born again. How many of us can think about what life was like prior to knowing Jesus? How many can think about how hopeless we were? And the hopelessness was so bad that it was noticeable, but we didn't know where it was coming from. It says that we have Christ has raised Jesus from, where am I at? That we were born again because God raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven or in the realm of the Spirit for you. It's pure and undefiled, meaning on the inside of you right now is everything you need. Can anybody think of something that you need right now by a show of hands? All right, so you're not working to get that thing. It right now is on the inside of you. Well, what happens with that? It says beyond reach of change and decay. And it's through your faith that God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed in the last time. There are things that you've told yourself that clearly I have missed. I have missed that opportunity. I have missed that window. And I believe the Lord sent you to the outlet today to let you know that window has not closed. And that window is still open. But what God is asking, can you just draw out what you already have on the inside? And so what we're going to do as we close out today is we're going to cast, we're going to ask, and then we're going to practice Thanksgiving. Is that all right?